start of the year, although we're already into the second month, just considering some things that it might be good to do. Talked about a couple of things. Today I'm going to give you a whole list. So just a to-do list, a very ordinary things, actually. Ordinary things are really important in everyday living. So I'm just going to give us a little to-do list, things to consider that it might be good for you to do this year. One thing comes from Jesus' own words, and then we're going to look at a psalm that contains a little list of things that we should be doing. So here's the item from Jesus. This is taken out of Mark near the end. Jesus has just been anointed, and some of the disciples complain that it's been wasted on Jesus. And it could have been sold, and the money given to the poor. But as Jesus responds, one of the things he says is, "You always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them." So Jesus reminds us that the poor are with us always, and that whenever you want, you can do them some good. I want to suggest that there would be times in 2020 when you want to do them some good. We do have with us those who are poor, those who are needy, those who are defenseless. You don't have to go very far to find some who need help. Though, of course, you can go very far and go around the globe, but you don't have to go very far to find some who really need help, who are poor, who are defenseless. So one thing I want to encourage us to consider doing in the coming year is helping those who could use some help. Help, of course, comes in many forms. You might be able to give some help to somebody just by giving your time. Of course, you might be able to give some help by giving money. Sometimes help is given just by being present. You just need to be there. So your presence can be helpful. You might be able to give some help using your talents, skills that you have. So help can come in many forms. I want to just consider giving some help to those who could use some help. A good opportunity this year, Dio Volente, to vote. When you vote this year, don't just have your own interests to the forefront. What would be good for you? Maybe when you vote this year, the needs of the poor, the needs of the defenseless should be to the forefront. You should cast a vote in order not so much to benefit yourself, but maybe to benefit the poor and the defenseless. And of course, we can give help. You can do it as an individual. The person lives across the street from you. There's ministries that are, their goal is to help the poor and the needy. There's organizations built. So there can be planned activities, there can be unanticipated moments when you encounter somebody. So I want to encourage you to consider giving some help, wanting to do some good to the poor among us. And there's after-school programs, there's shelters and recovery centers. So many, many different ways. And you probably know some people. Take some time for them to be on your radar screen. I want to encourage us all, perhaps, to support for the unborn, certainly defenseless. I'm usually not one for statistics, but here's one that I found sobering. Globally, so around the globe, the whole planet, around 55.3, it's estimated, million people die every year from all causes. So from disease, accidents, old age, all causes around the globe, about a little over 55 million people die. Last year, there was around 56 million abortions. more children are aborted than die from all other causes. That's a sobering statistic. So I want to encourage you, put on your radar screen some support for the unborn. James says this, probably know this verse at the end of his first chapter. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. So have some pure and undefiled religion. Visit some orphans and widows in their distress. Do some good for the poor. Stand up for the ones who are defenseless. It's a good thing to do. Whenever you want, they're always around. You know, I'm encouraging you to want some in 2020 and whatever avenues are open to you. So that's the first thing on the to-do list. Do the poor some good. So next, the psalm. Psalm 15 in the Psalter is a psalm of only five verses. The first verse raises a question, and then the next four verses answer the question. So here's Psalm 15. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? That's the question. Here's the answers given of who may abide and who may dwell. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. So the question asked there in the first verse, who may abide? Who may dwell in the Lord's house, in the Lord's presence? I think the phrasing of the question is worth noting. It's not people standing at the gate saying, what do we got to do in order to get into this place? It's not an entrance requirement. So they're not inquiring about the things of what do you need in order to get in, to gain entrance. Nor is the list of what you can expect to have when you leave. Come and participate, and when you leave, here are the deliverables. Here's what you can expect to leave with. It's not that either. It's not a list of end products. Rather, it's a question about who can hang around. Who's welcome to stay on the holy hill, in the Lord's house? That seems to give a sense to it. It's about lifestyle things. If you just want to hang around this house, here's some things you have to do. They're all things that are part of routine living around here type of idea and feel. It's like you invite me to stay at your house. And you say, you're welcome to stay as long as you... And then you get a little list of things that as long as I do those things, I'm welcome to stay. I don't have to do those things to gain entrance, to be invited in the first place. But if you want to stay, you're going to have to do these things. Whatever, pick up your stuff, help with the dishes, help with the cleaning, whatever the list might be. It's what things so that you can just hang around, that you can stay. So then that's the question, the last four verses. Give 10 things. 10 things you have to do not to stay at your house, but to stay at the Lord's house. If you want to stay at his house, you want to hang around there, here's 10 things that you have to do. They're both positive and negative things, things you got to do and things you got to avoid, not do. It's an interesting list, actually. It does not talk about faith. It doesn't talk about hope. It doesn't talk about love. Doesn't talk about prayer. It doesn't talk about God's word. It doesn't talk about worship. Things you want to stay in this house, you would expect those big gun things to come up. And those things are not talked about. You don't get the feeling from the things that are listed that they're the biggest things or the weightiest things. None of the things sounds like this should be your major purpose in life. None of the things have that feel. None of the things have the feel of this should be the primary goal of your living. They're not those kinds of things. It's not, you need to be a person who's deep in faith, who's abounding in love, who's always meditating on God's word. It's not those kinds of things. It's very interesting. I think the feel of the psalm, at least to me, it's more like the sign at the swimming pool that says pool area rules. Plastered on the fence that's in swimming pool area. Rules that probably don't even address the primary reason you even came to the pool in the first place. It's not like you went to the pool in order to just follow the rules, right? I came here to run on the deck. So the rules don't even address the primary reason that you're there in the pool area. They just give some practical things that you need to do or need to not do so you don't get kicked out of the pool area so you can stay, right? They have something of that kind of feel. These are like the Holy Hill area rules. You want to stay on the Holy Hill? Here's the rules. And it talks then about matters that are just daily attitude, daily practice, so that you can stay on the Holy Hill, that you can dwell here, that you can abide here. They're rather basic, they're rather straightforward, but they're important because not violating them can get you kicked out of the place. The pool area rules, you didn't come here to just follow the rules, but they're important. If you violate them, you can get kicked out of the pool area. And then for whatever reason you came, you're not going to be able to do that. So something like that. So 10 things about who may dwell, who may just abide, who can hang around on the Holy Hill. Of course, it's important because that is that important to you? It's an opening question, a question that you care about. Is it more like, who may abide longest at the shopping mall? I don't know what the criteria is, but I'm not going to listen too carefully because I'm not all that interested in abiding long at the shopping mall. Is it that kind of question for you, or is something I would really like to do? I would like to be able to dwell on the Holy Hill. I'd like to stay there. So how do I do that? So 10 things given to us. First one. Walking with integrity and doing righteousness. That's kind of, please, walk the walk. If you want to stay on the hill, just walk the walk. If you come to the Lord's house, come to his hill, and while you're there at his house, you proclaim his greatness and his power. You declare his faithfulness. You testify while you're there at the Lord's house that his word is life, that his word is light to your path. You know, you sing or you testify to how your hope and your trust is in him. I'd almost like to print out all the words you just sang and just give it back to you and say, is this your testimony? You bear witness, you said all these things, you sang them. Is that what you want to say about yourself and about God, about his son? So you go to his house and you proclaim his greatness. You sing of his power. You declare his loving kindness. If you do all of that kind of stuff, we should have a pretty good idea of how you live daily life. Because if you say all that stuff in the Lord's house, we could have a pretty good guess. When you go home and you just do daily life, how you live. Unless there's a disconnect. If there's not a match for all the stuff that you say in the Lord's house and how you live, then you lack integrity. There's a disconnect. There's not a match. If I told you how much I love and enjoy and appreciate Jan, you could make some guesses about happenings in our home. Roger says he loves her, says he appreciates her, says he enjoys her. I got a pretty good idea what must go on in the Vince Bronson house. But then if you followed me home and I never paid any attention to her, never talked to her, never manifested anything that looked like enjoyment, you would say, Roger, I don't think there's a lot of integrity between what you said and what you actually do. There's not a match. You need to walk the walk. So if you say it in his house, the Lord's house, if you say it in his house, this first thing is walk in it. If you come to his house and you say, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. You can't be a grump all week if you say that in his house. You got to walk in it, right? Unless you think he's not reigning during the week. So this first one is just walk the walk. All those things that you testify to and affirm in his house, let them govern how you walk. Let there be integral connection between those things in his house and your daily living. Second one, speaks truth in his heart. This is an important one in our time. We think it's okay for you to think anything you want. In fact, the simple fact that you think it is seen as sufficient justification. You're allowed to think whatever you like. So you're just thinking it, that's enough. But it's important that what you tell yourself be true. That's really important. Not, I really like this kind of thing. Not, I really want this to happen or I want things to be like this. Not, I feel like things ought to be this way. Not, I'm very sincere in my thought and my intention. Not a bunch of subjective criteria for what you're telling yourself. And our culture, of course, says that subjective criteria is enough. If you think it, that's good enough. You're really sincere about it, that's good enough. But truth is not a subjective matter. It's an objective matter. Something is not true just because you think it. Something is not true just because I think it. Something is not true for me just because I think it. So it's important that what you think goes on in your heart, that it be true. Did you ever, as a kid, you pouted in your room and you said to yourself, nobody likes me? We do a lot more sophisticated versions of that thing even when you grow up, don't you? You tell yourself things. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. It doesn't make any difference if I, blah, whatever. So here's a suggestion. In 2020, don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Speak truth in your heart. Care about whether what goes on inside of you is true or not. Not whether you really feel it strongly or feel passionate about it. Not subjective things. Is it true? Speak truth in your heart. It's really important, especially in our time. So then we're given three things to avoid. Not slander with your tongue, not do evil to your neighbor, not take up a reproach against your friend. So three things to not do. So we just had speak truth to yourself in your heart. But also it now adds, don't say stuff about others that isn't true. Don't say stuff that isn't true about others. Jordan only cares about money. Patty just wants to make herself look good. That's all Patty wants to do. Kind of like very acceptable in our time just to make false accusation. It's easy to do. It frequently happened. You can just say stuff about others that's not true. Anyone, anything that you don't like, You can just accuse the other person of being hateful, being fearful, being a bigot, a whole list of things, of being intolerant. You can just say things about others that's slanderous, that isn't true. Don't do that. Say, well, I need it to be true for my deal to work. Now, don't say stuff that isn't true about others. The second thing is, don't do bad stuff. I mean, there's lots of bad stuff in the world. Others shouldn't have to deal with bad stuff because of you. But don't do evil to your neighbor. Don't hurt, don't wound, don't discredit. There shouldn't be people that are having to deal with evil coming their way because you're on the planet. You may not be a medical doctor, but I think it's good if each one of us has our own version of the Hippocratic Oath, and at least the first tenet of it is do no harm. I would be glad if there was anybody on the planet who says, Roger's harming me by doing me evil. There's resources to deal with it, but I would be glad. I don't want to do anybody any harm. So don't do bad stuff to others. And then the third one, don't take up a reproach against a friend. Now, none of us have friends who are perfect. You don't have to pretend that the friends you have are perfect. But it's a good thing to be on your friend's side. Loyalty is not valued in our time. It's not flourishing in our time. If you displease me or I displease you, I just unfriend you. Right? I cancel you. Canceled. But here, an encouragement. Those are your friends. Yes, they're not perfect. Everybody who's a friend of you, they don't have a perfect friend in you. But some loyalty. I'm not going to take up a reproach against my friend. I'm just not going to disown you. Doesn't mean you might not do anything bad. Jeff does something really bad, but I'm not going to unfriend him. Jeff, I'll visit you in prison. You're still my friend. I'm not going to take up the reproach. I'll visit you in prison if I have to, because I'm with you. So a simple thing, but it's easy to pick up reproaches against anybody and everybody. You just turn from them. Be loyal to people you should be loyal to. So there's something to do. Go to the next screen. So three more positive things. Despise the reprobates. Honor those who fear the Lord. Swear to your own hurt and don't change. Despising reprobates, that's kind of a hard one for us, isn't it? We're reluctant to label anyone reprobate. And negative responses are often suspect, unless they're politically correct. So to despise, that's not seen as a good thing to do. And reprobates, we're reluctant to pin the label on anybody. So that's a challenging thing for us. But it is important. Don't admire. Don't admire things. Don't admire people who aren't good. Don't do that. Don't have a secret admiration for the bully who can really kick butt. And of course, I don't want to be like that, but it's kind of cool. Don't admire that which isn't good. And of course, the next one turns it around. Honor those who fear the Lord. Great verse out of Psalm, the next Psalm, 16, is, as for the saints in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. Well, I think saints are cool. Oh, I delight in them. So don't admire things that aren't good and turn it around. Admire those who are good. If you need help with that, just go watch a bunch of movies. Because movies often honor the reprobate and despise the person who fears the Lord. That's exactly backwards. You should despise the one who's a reprobate and honor the one who fears the Lord. And then the third one there, one I really like, I think it's important, swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. You told him you would be in church on February 2 and you forgot that it was a Super Bowl. Oh, why did I promise to sing at Super Bowl? Well, you swore to your own hurt. And what do? You don't change. You tape the Super Bowl and you go sing. What do when you find yourself saying, I kind of wish I hadn't promised that? What do when you get to that situation? Now, I kind of wish I hadn't promised that. A very good thing to do, a good way to be, is keep your word, even when it hurts. Promise to do some things, and new information or new opportunities, a better offer comes along. Oh, I wish I hadn't promised that. Swore to my own hurt, but doesn't change. I'm going to keep my word even if it hurts. It's a good way to be, a good way to live. So just be faithful. Do what you said. Don't change it just because there's new information or some different circumstance happens. Just fulfill your word. So then it finishes with two more things not to do. Don't put out your money at interest. Don't take a bribe against the innocent. Encouragement here, don't live life having personal benefit be a big trump card, a high trump card. Loan out your money without requiring any personal benefit. I'll loan you some money, but I need some return. I need some interest on it. I want some benefit for doing this good thing. Loan out your money without personal benefit entering the picture, just because the person could use the money. And don't let personal benefit be a motivation to turn against the innocent, to readjust how you read a situation. Oh, and what side you're on, well, there's more benefit for me on this side. Some bribes are coming my way, so that'll be enough motivation for me to turn. And the benefit is more important than that person's innocence. So don't let personal benefit be a very big trump card in giving help to others, in loaning your money, and the stances that you take. Let the fact that there's innocence there be weighty with you. Not the bribe, the personal benefit that can come to you. Having what's in it for me present can mess you up in knowing what's the right thing to do in a lot of situations. If what's in it for me is weighty for any of us, just messes you up as far as how you respond to situations and what you do. So those two things of you know, don't let personal interest. I want some return on my investment and my loan, or could give me some personal benefit and I'll change my views about the situation. Have that off the table. So there's some things to do. I hope a couple of them at least catch your attention. Good for me to do that in 2020. I don't think these things are the biggest things. I'm not trying to make them sound like the biggest things. They're like the pool area rules. I could easily go to a lot of pools and never even read the rules. Maybe you are like that. You know, the pool area rules. You can half guess them and kind of get, I'm going to read those stupid rules. But if I start doing, while I'm at the pool area, something stupid or something bad, the rules remind me, right? And correct me. So the lifeguard says, hey, no running. What are you thinking? Don't dive in the shallow end, whatever the rules are. Wash your feet off before you get in. Whatever the rules are. I didn't have to read them, but if I start doing stupid or bad, well, then the rules correct me so I don't get kicked out. So I can stay, so I can hang around. So I think these things found in Psalm 15, both positive things and negative things, most of the time I hope you can say, yeah, I live like that. Yeah, that's pretty much how I live. Those 10 things that are listed, that's what I do. I live that way. Presence of Christ within me, presence on his holy hill, instills those things. I live like that. But then if you get a little careless or a little askew, think these things can remind us. Do these things. You don't want to get kicked off the hill. So walk the walk. All those things that you say about the Lord and affirm about the Lord, walk in them. Tell yourself the truth. Don't feel it's okay. Nobody can govern what I think, so I'm going to think whatever I darn well please and what I think is right. Speak truth in your own heart to yourself. Don't say false stuff about others. Don't accuse others falsely. Don't do harm. Don't hurt because you hurt. Don't do evil because you're mad. You know, all kinds of motivations. Don't do harm to others. Some loyalty to friends. You know, don't pick up their reproach. I'm going to walk in it. Honor the commitment and the care and the love that you have for a friend. The reproach is merited. I'll walk with you through the reconciliation and healing process. Don't admire the ungodly. Admire those who fear the Lord. Keep your word even when it hurts. Don't let personal benefit interfere with you loaning your money or with you serving the cause of the innocent. Do all those things. The psalmist says you won't get kicked off the hill. That's important to you. I want to do those things. And when you want to, do something good for the poor. So that's a lot of things on the list. Again, I hope many of them, but yeah, I tend to live like that. Loving the Lord, knowing him, makes me be that kind of person. When you get a little crooked, when you're running, like you're not supposed to run in the pool area, let them stop you. Roger, that's what's in it for you is weighing too heavy. Expecting nothing in return. Be like that. Oh, thanks. Got it. So I hope a couple of them catch your attention and give you something to do. Let's close in prayer. Father, this question in this psalm, who may dwell, who may abide, Father, on your holy hill, in your house, in your presence, Father, stir in us just the desire to be people who can abide, Father, who can dwell in your house. Father, nothing else that we would desire beyond or above than just being in your presence. So, Father, help us to do those things. Maybe just part of the daily operations for us, daily habits, daily routines, that we can abide on your holy hill. And Father, we pray that, Father, we would employ just the abundant blessing, goodness that you've showered upon us. Father, to help the poor, to visit the widow, Father, to defend the defenseless. Father, we pray that desire just to give, even as we have received so much, would find expression in ways that please you, and Father, in ways that do help, Father, the poor and the needy around us. Father, help us to be doers of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.